Get ready for real time, prime time, big time, show time. It's edible honesty time. And in the meantime, get ready for your favorite partner in crime, your host, one of the greatest talkers of all time, the king of edible honesty, and the eighth wonder of the world, Andrew the Giant.
Hey, hey, my, hot rockin', bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Let's get down and let's talk about the ins and outs of the food industry. My name is Andrew. I'm your host and I am ready to rock, so let's cut right into it, because today we will be readjusting almost everything you thought you knew about food. In our last edible adventure, Andrew the Giant introduced us all to the concept of the last edible mile and the concept of the first edible mile. And believe me when I tell you, it is best to be located at the first edible mile, lest we forget the words of Rhys Bobby. If you're not first, you're last. And for today's extra tasty episode, I will be using the lyrics of the Rolling Stones, Jackson Browne, the Guess Who, Little Orphan Annie, Hulk Hogan, and Rodgers and Hammerstein to discuss first edible mile farms and how it plans to address food insecurity head on and eliminate it within 15 years. So pass the beer nuts, Hillary Norman Peterson, and oh, what heights will hit. On with the show. This is it. Now, the harsh reality is that around the world, food insecurity, or starvation, as it used to be called, is running wilder than Hulk Hogan did in the 1980s. So what you gonna do, brother, when food insecurity runs wild on you? When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside. Ooh, ooh. The global food supply chain is not just broken. Look at me, I'm tattered. Shaubi, I'm shattered. And the global food supply chain is now down to just a few broken links because the world is running out of food. The world is running out of water. The world is running out of land to farm, and the farmlands are producing way, way, way less crops. It's the end of the world as we know it. And to further complicate things, the cities around the world, well, they are very overpopulated. And I believe Charles Dickens said it best. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. Winter is coming, Jon Snow. And you better bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow people will be starving in the streets. Please, sir, may I have some more? Please, please, sir, may I have some more? Please. And the truth is, it just will not matter what city you are living in. There will be no food security for the masses. Cities are urban deserts, and nothing grows in a desert. Come here, you see this? This is sand. Ooh, ooh. Food insecurity, or starvation, can affect anyone. So you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Because food insecurity does not care where you live. And food insecurity does not care who you are. He took the who pudding. He took the roast beast. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. The majority of people that suffer from food insecurity live in cities, edible fact. And the majority of people that suffer from food insecurity are Black and Latino and extremely poor. Edible fact. However, food insecurity is no longer a socioeconomic disease because when the once unbreakable global food supply chain broke and fell into disrepair, the largest increase in any group now suffering from food insecurity was the one that was once thought to be financially immune. However, the upper class, they got hit pretty hard as well. There was no gray poupon to be passed from limousine to limousine, so pardon me. And ever since then, food on this planet started disappearing faster than the Flash running late for a date. I'm late for a very important date. And all the money in the world does not matter. All the money in the world will not matter. No one can purchase that which does not exist. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. Ooh, ooh. Now, I know exactly what you're thinking, and I believe Sam Kinison said it best. Perhaps there would not be so much hunger in the world if people would move to where the food is. Hey, that does sound super logical, problem solved. Move to where the food is. However, of course, that's not what happened. What do you need, a refresher course? The population of this world heard the exact opposite, and millions of more people decided to move where the food is not. Everyone is moving, and rapidly, to a last edible mile destination. Everyone's moving to the city. Despite the fact that Mama Leone left a note on the door, she said, "Sonny, move out to the country." Ooh, ooh. Currently, Marty, the year is 2022, McFly. And as it stands, planet Earth has been pretty much destroyed due to the greenhouse effect, overplowed farmlands, overpopulated cities. Take your pick. But the real problem, Marty, is with your kids. Ooh, ooh. The real problem started way back when the world went from a seasonal approach to food to an all-in, no-holds-barred, to global food trade at all costs. You see, right before the world moved to a global trade approach, everyone in the world was growing as many varieties of produce as they could. However, the moment the world started shipping foods from other climates far, far across the globe, the world stopped growing the varieties that might have been poem-worthy. And the world stopped growing varieties that didn't quite produce as much. And the world stopped growing the varieties that didn't quite ship so well. Instead, the world focused on plastic appearance and highly unnatural durability rather than reality, flavor, and poems. And as an edible consequence, 95% of all the vegetables and 90% of all the fruits that were once on this earth are no longer around because they are extinct. So, see you later, alligator. So long. That's all. Goodbye. Ooh, ooh. Now, let's stop for a moment and just get everything organized. 95% of the vegetables and 90% of the fruits are extinct. And today, of the food that we eat, well over 70% of it is processed, as the yummy consumption of ultra-processed food has skyrocketed over the last 10 years. Most of the world consumes nothing but synthetic food. Edible fact. Don't believe me. Impossible, you say? Well, how was that? artificial, fake, faux, imitation, mock, simulated, pseudo, counterfeit, so-called synthetic animal burger made in a laboratory from vegetables? And therein lies the problem. We are literally down to nothing. There's barely any real food left on this planet at all. I mean, the government is literally down to Plan Z. Don't believe me? We're eating synthetic cows. And we are eating synthetic pigs. Are you kidding me? Real food right now on this earth is scarcer than a commercially successful Ed Wood film. And he never had one. The world got introduced to the concept of extinction when a bunch of people dug up some dinosaur bones. But the concept of culinary extinction and the effects culinary extinction would have on the world population was first explored in a science fiction book in the year 1966. And it went on to become an iconic film called Soylent Green in the year 1973. Now, Soylent Green takes place in the year 2022. Sound familiar? Where the cumulative effects of pollution and overpopulation, and of course, a climate catastrophe, cause severe worldwide shortages of food and water. Soylent Green envisions a future where the oceans are dying and a world where nothing is growing. That's all courtesy the greenhouse effect and overpopulated cities, pollution. Now, in Soylent Green, there was more than enough time to ensure that real food would be around in perpetuity. And there was more than enough time to make certain that real food would be plentiful for generations to come. And there was more than enough time to ensure that real food would be equally accessible to all and at a price that would allow families to flourish. And the quality of that food would have been unprecedented and filled with life, flavors, and poetry. But they chose to ignore the realities, and they were caught with their metaphoric pants down, desperate, and on the brink of planetary starvation. They went to Plan Z and created a synthetic nutrition pill called Soylent Green, and it was fed to the masses, and that was their food. They did not eat real food. They ate pills just like the Jetsons because they were completely out of resources. So to make Soylent Green, they used people as the main ingredient. And guess what? The public loved it. Now, Marty, the actual year right now is 2022 McFly. And truth be told, we are not really that far away from the realities in Soylent Green. Therefore, before we start to resort to cannibalism as a society, out of necessity, of course, could someone pass me a leg? We have no choice. We must make the production of real food our top priority because it's a code red. And to truly do it right, we have to move the food to where the people are. Yes, Sam, it can be done. And it can be done quickly and cheaply. We must move the food to the city because if you build it, they will come. Every city around the world must start growing their own food, and I do mean everywhere. Every children's classroom should have an indoor vertical farm. Every break room in every office should have an indoor vertical farm. Every city around the world must be growing and operating their own fully sustainable local food supply. Every city must become a first and only Edible Mile destination, period, exclamation, Smurf. Think about it like this. Every town in the world has a water tower. In fact, every town in the world has a water tower with their name on it. So then where? In the wide, wide world of sports, Taggart is that town's food tower. Nowhere. That's where. No town has a food tower. No city has a food tower. But I do know one thing. They all should. Now, the last time I checked, food is a necessity just like water. And one day, quite soon, food will become a luxury. And every single last Edible Mile city and town, and every single city and town, 5,000 to 7,000 Edible Miles before them, on the global food supply chain will run out of food, and I mean as in nothing to eat, as in so long, farewell, alvidasen, good night. So then why, in the wide, wide world of sports, Taggart, doesn't any town or any city anywhere have a food tower? Rather, why doesn't every city, heck, why doesn't every town on this earth have multiple food towers? Every town should have a series of food towers strategically laid out. And by that, I mean as many food towers as each and every city or town requires to properly provide real food for everyone. So, what exactly is a food tower? That's a great question. Because it's not a place to store rancid nuts. So here's a super speedy explanation from The Flash. Thanks, Bruce. A food tower is an indoor vertical farm. The current state of the global food supply chain is horrible, to say the least. And the supply chain issues that we are all experiencing right now, day after day, are here to stay. So won't you stay just a little bit longer, Jackson Brown? And no sector has been hit harder than agriculture and food. There's rain on the scarecrow and blood on the plow. The golden food supply chain has collapsed, and down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. And the prognosis is terminal. Hey, doctor. You ever see a spleen this large? No, not since breakfast. In every city, in every town, anywhere you care to spin the globe. Starvation, my apologies. Food insecurity is visually obvious and it is tragic. And in the United States of America, all you have to be is breathing to notice how broken the global food supply chain is. The supermarket shelves are bare. They are pretty empty. Pretty, pretty empty. And yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. And people are starting to starve in the streets. And Samuel Coleridge said it best. Water, water everywhere. And not a drop to drink. So, we all know the problem. We need help. We're running out of food. So let's talk solution, shall we? And by solution, I mean first Edible Mile farms. Now, governments immediately need to readapt their agricultural policies. And in America, all local and all city governments, all federal governments need to legislate for a series of mandatory food towers in every town. And those food towers need to be first Edible Mile farms. And right now, I'm talking to you, Cory Booker. Let's do something together. Let's make New Jersey the Garden State. Seriously, what are you waiting for? New Jersey grows nothing. Call Andrew the Giant. We can do it together. Let's establish the first state with a food tower in every town. And it'll be so easy. All that needs to happen is for governments to float a bond and increase funding for vertical farming and necessary food towers in their town, because this is not about politics. This is about people. 95% of the vegetables, 90% of the fruits, they are gone. And 90% of all the large fishes have disappeared from the world's oceans. And guess what? It's been in the last 50 years alone. 75% of the world's food is generated from 12 plants and 5 animal species. I'd say right now, there is probably nothing more important than the creation and funding of a food tower in every town, in every city in America right now. Nothing is more important. This is Plan A. Now, once there is a first edible mile farm, a series of them in every town, once local governments fund the indoor vertical farmer, that increased funding will instantly attract investors, and subsidies will allow the vertical farmer to flourish and allow that farmer to feed, and the local community will flourish, because the cost and the quality of the food will be unbelievable. First Mile Edible Farms has the ability to solve the food scarcity issues that exist in the United States right now. First Mile Edible Farms has the ability to solve the food security problems that plague the United States of America. First Mile Edible Farms, at its core, is an indoor hydroponic vertical farm, yes. First Mile Edible Farms is fueled by the power of the sun. First Mile Edible Farms runs on solar power just like Superman. First Mile Edible Farms, instant climate control creates the ideal habitat to grow anything. Every city and every town can grow everything from kale to cantaloupes to apples to bananas. So yes, we do have some bananas today. And we even have cacao and coffee all grown in-house. So bye-bye, Juan Valdez. First Mile Farms produces food every single day, whatever the weather. Be it a blizzard, a monsoon, or even an extended heat wave. First Mile Farms is easy to operate, and it's easier to scale. First Mile Farms is easily adaptable to flourish in every American town, city, and community. First Mile Farms is crucial and critical, and right now we need one more than ever. So that's it. That's a wrap on Implement These Food Solutions Now. And please do yourself a favor. Go back and look at some of my past episodes, in particular, Culinary Extinction and the American Supermarkets. And do not forget to tune in for the next edible episode, because just like Dickie V, it's going to be awesome, baby. My name is Andrew. I thank you so much for listening. And to all my fans out there in Mexico, hola, amigos, and an enormous edible shout out to my favorite farmer on this planet, Goyo, over at JR Organics in Escondido, California. And Goyo is the very first farmer in this world to farm edible electricity. And he's got it available if you live in San Diego, Orange County, Los Angeles. Folks, do yourself a big favor and grab 1, 2, 3, 4 boxes of edible electricity, as many as you need a week. And do not forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. And no, I am not signed by any media outlet yet. But History Channel, Food Network, Comedy Central, Cooking Channel, Cartoon Network, Martha Stewart, and Foodable, whoever else, I'm available. So get in contact with me, and let's work out a deal and get Edible Honesty what it deserves, a syndicated platform. So get ready to tune in for the next episode for more Edible Honesty. Same edible time, same edible station.